It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we begin a Monday, Gary, good morning.
Good. I'm doing very, very well. How is everybody? One of the last messages I received yesterday was from a friend of mine, Kelly, who was out grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And she was furious because the price of olives, apparently she keeps up to date on this, has gone up drastically. I'm just trying to go back and find what she had sent to me here. Here it is. Good Lord, are food prices just going to get even more higher? Blankety, blankety, blank. It's crazy. A jar of olives I normally pay $1.69 is now $4.69.
Mm-hmm.
Unblanking believable.
Yeah, it is unblanking believable. It's also unblanking sustainable.
And then the next thing is, just imagine how hard it is for a hardworking family to come up with even more money to put food on the table now. Food prices are out of control, and they're still going up.
Well, this is the problem, is that with all due respect to your friend, most people are talking about bread and milk and meat. And it's hitting really, really, really hard. So the
right.
hardworking families, which is what she's alluding to there in the end, hardworking families are trying to make ends meet by just putting any meal on the table.
Yeah. I think she was just giving an example that, you know, that's what? Over double.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just one food. And again, it's what you notice. You know, it's the things that you may buy that might not be bread, you know, the luxuries you might, but luxuries, olives, luxuries. But you go to buy, you know, olives or whatever, you mm-hmm. know, you go, and that's something you just go buy. You know what it's like? It's almost as if you go in to buy mustard.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a small jar of mustard for, you know, I don't even know what it was. You used to be able to get it for 69 cents or 99 cents or something like that. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden that was $3. What?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that yet, but I just use that as an example of something that I know is extremely cheap. It's not
right.
expensive.
Right.
And all yeah. of a sudden you go in, and so something like olives, yeah. And you, as you say, with bread, just everything across the board, it's not stopping. In fact, we'll talk about that. More bad inflation news on Friday. We'll talk about the Obama-appointed federal judge who dismisses Stacey Abrams' Georgia voting law lawsuit. Understand it was a Obama federally appointed judge
mm-hmm.
who did that, and that gets back to the 2018 law. I don't know how much they tried to get in the law that was passed after 2020.
Hmm.
Was that law passed after 2020, or was that before 2020?
Which one?
The one that Biden was talking about. The one that Biden said was Jim Crow on steroids.
Oh, that was before 2020. Oh,
okay, well, then this yeah. is yeah. Then this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right, we're just in 2022 now. Sorry, I don't know what year it is. And remember,
no, he was already in office. So it was after the 2020 election. He was already in office, right? When he was making those comments. Yeah, the Georgia election laws you're talking about specifically.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he was already in office.
And it's like, well, the judge basically said, no election law is perfect, but nothing is absolutely nothing in the Georgia election law. Nothing is outside of the Constitution at all, and none of it invades on anybody's right to vote. And the interesting thing is they brought up, well, we brought 3,000 witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, out of the 3,000 witnesses, how many couldn't register to vote?
Right.
And that, well, there's actually an answer to that.
Right.
How many of the 3,000 that they brought forth as witnesses to complain that it was too hard to register to vote, how many were unsuccessful in registering to vote out of the 3,000? Zero, according to National Review. Zero. All were able to register to vote.
Well, and that's, you know, that's measuring the real effect. That's why the question should have been that all along. And the, if you would, if you actually had a case, you would have brought forth all of those that were affected negatively. And zero is the number, which is why the case went nowhere.
We'll tell you about the female track athletes who sue over the over transgender policy. Liberal transgender activist movement update. This is a again, just bringing up because I was just one of the last things I read before I came on the air was scanning National Review, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, that Republicans have to just embrace the anti-liberal transgender activist movement. They have to go after it big time. And they talk about that in, you know, they look at, you know, Oz, for example, in Pennsylvania, who was very sympathetic on a show in 2010, and now the Democrats are using it against him. Hmm. It's the same way if you see the big ad, the biggest, most major ad that I've seen against Governor Abbott here in the state of Texas is what? Frisola.
Mm-hmm.
Is about that the Democrats can run the grid better. Because and this is what we warned Republicans for the longest time. In fact, we've been warning Republicans since Newt Gingrich sat down with Nancy Pelosi on that bench for that stupid Super Bowl ad and said, call your congressperson about what you can do about climate change. Shut up. And what do they do? Well, when the free money was around, even states like Texas, the free money's there, grab it and do it, and then Republican politicians would support it and say, well, yeah, it's a good thing. We're the number one win state. And then the party that has created this entire false and stupid and ridiculous, and as we have called it, suicidal movement, energy, economic, and national security suicide, can actually go into the election on the higher ground when they would destroy the energy production, consistent energy production in the United States, all because Republicans didn't want to fight it.
Yeah, and this is the problem that we have had with the GOP for, I don't know, far too long. I said it during the Trump administration that I'm hoping that there is fight beyond Donald Trump, that the GOP will have people in it that are willing to fight, not lay down. Because that's what they've been doing for far too long, laying down, rolling over, reaching across the aisle, being a maverick. Where the hell did that get us?
And they talked about the fact, like I said, Dr. Oz being, you know, the Democrats now using it against. See, he was, you know, he claims now he's against, you know, men playing women's sports. But back in his show on 2010, in 2010, they're going all the way back then to use it. So think about this. Mm. The Democrats are using it in Pennsylvania against Oz. The fact that he was sympathetic for the transgender movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then here in the state of Texas, Governor Abbott's weak spot is the fact that he promoted wind and solar, and Democrats are using it against him.
Yeah, that's how bad it is.
It's not going to work, but
no, it's not. Because they have to say, now we want more of it.
Yeah, that's...
So, and it's not, you know, this is the problem that they have, is that right now they really have nowhere to go. And I don't know who they're selling the issue to. I don't know who anybody that's buying into their issues to the point that they've got people that are lining up to vote for them that were on the fence or weren't going to vote at all. I don't know where the great motivator is from the Democratic Party. Somebody tell me that. because I saw more of it over the weekend. Well, this person is just like Trump. This person is just like Trump. This person is just like Trump. Hatred for one guy. Still today, it's all they got. Inflation is killing households. And their agenda is kicking down the walls, saying you don't have a place in your child's classroom. And, oh, yeah, we still hate Trump. That's the Democratic Party of 2022.
Well, over the weekend, there seemed to be a lot of talk of the shift in Latino voters away from Democrats. Mm. And another article about the fear now in Nevada of Latinos staying home.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. The German government warns natural gas may run out now over the winter time. Mm. That's the insanity of the energy movement. Did you see that? I saw an article. I'll find it here. It just popped into my mind. Governor Newsom was talking about now promoting you need to be like California as their gas prices skyrocket. And yeah. He's like, well, you can go to winter. I'm ordering you can go to winter blends early in order to lower the price of gasoline.
Right, right, yeah.
As we've stated over and over again, how long have we done this for? 10 years? Never got one response. Not one in any way. And we have said, does anybody actually believe that the Democrats want lower gasoline prices?
Right.
Does anybody believe that? No. Everyone knows, even every Democrat listening right now knows the Democrats want gasoline prices through the roof. They want fuel oil through the roof. They want natural gas through the roof.
Yep.
They want all of these. Obama stated it. He stated out the plan back in early 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to skyrocket electricity prices. Under his plan, electricity prices will skyrocket. He
yep.
said it
yep.
out loud
yep.
in his own words.
Yep. And the same principle applies to any traditional form of energy.
Yep. And so you look at that inflation in general, and so you can understand why many Americans are moving hopefully in the opposite direction this coming November. But the German government, now warning natural gas may run out over the winter.
Mm.
Well, you shouldn't have put your energy security in Putin's hands. You were idiots for doing that. And we're idiots.
Yeah.
For wanting to do the same thing here in the United States.
I saw on Friday, OPEC Plus, which, by the way, still includes Russia, says they're thinking about cutting production. I mean, this is how maddening it gets.
Mm-hmm.
You won't go after your own. Why? I understand a lot of nations don't have what we have, but a lot of nations do have the ability to reach out to nations like the U.S., and we have the ability to get a lot more than we're getting right now. And our allies, the actual good nations, could have set this up a long, long time ago. Instead, put so many of your dominoes over in Putin's corner. Are you stupid?
Nancy says illegal immigrants and migrants should stay in Florida to pick crops.
Wow.
Bill Maher, Democrat, should drop Kamala. Latest polling out there, the Supreme Court back in session. And I've got to find, I was reading so much over the weekend. Mm. And my most frustrating thing is when I come in here and I look, because I normally see a story and I send it to my email. Mm. And then it's not there. And I go, wait a minute, I thought I sent it. Did I send it? And it was a story saying, well, expect the Supreme Court to be called not legit as this, we expected that the Supreme Court would be called not legitimate when they started looking over some of the newer cases.
Mm-hmm.
But it's already started beforehand that they've been called not legit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as we stated before, and again, not one response. Give us one specific reason why the Supreme Court has not followed the Constitution. The left believes it's not legit because they are following the Constitution,
right,
and they don't believe in the Constitution.
Right.
When you actually break it down, and this is what, again, the Republican Party has to do better. You have to break down everything to its simplest form to show the flaws in their logic.
And their logic goes back to the very beginning of they don't believe in the Constitution.
Yeah.
They always have an out when it leads to that. Right. They believe. That doesn't work.
Now the Constitution is antiquated. Well, so what you're saying is the Supreme Court shouldn't follow the Constitution that you view as antiquated.
The Senate is antiquated.
Senate
I'm
is
sure
antiquated?
Bernie and Elizabeth Warren agree with that, right?
So we got a great show ahead, plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
As the seasons change, so does truck maintenance. Cold weather can affect everything from your batteries and air brake system to tire inflation and fuel lines. Here's a maintenance tip to help make sure your rig is ready when winter comes knocking. Have your batteries tested by a certified technician. Dead batteries are one of the most common causes of winter breakdowns. Testing them now will indicate whether or not they can keep up with electrical demands of your truck this winter. When you have your batteries tested, check the alternator for sufficient amperage and voltage output as well. Find a professional technician near you to have your batteries and alternator tested today, so you'll be ready when the seasons change.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Eric Harley here for a new sponsor, Total Tax, Inc. Total Tax knows how challenging it can be to run your own business. Whether it's just you and your rig on the open road or if you operate a fleet, Total Tax can help. They've been helping small business owners like you across the USA since 1991 with an experienced and licensed team of financial and tax experts to help keep your business on track and successful. Whether you need help filing back tax returns, resolving taxes you owe, or staying on top of your bookkeeping and current tax returns, think of Total Tax as your business partner providing you with peace of mind while you're on the road. Total Tax is a family-owned business that understands our independent tradesmen are the backbone of America, and they look forward to serving your financial and tax needs so you can keep our country running strong by providing consistent, personal, dedicated, effective, and ethical service to their clients. Total Tax has sustained an A+ BBB rating for over three decades. Go to TotalTaxForTruckers.com or call 855-920-4121 today and get a free consultation. That's TotalTaxForTruckers.com. TotalTaxForTruckers.com.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So the inflation from the latest on inflation here, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, which the Fed uses when it assesses price pressures in the economy, rose 6.2% in August from a year earlier. That's down from a revised 6.4% in July and 7% in June. But it still signals that inflation has become widespread. Prices for goods fell in the month, but services rose 0.6%. That would roughly be 7.2% for the year. The so-called core PCE index, which excludes food and energy prices, rose 4.9% in August from year to year, which was up from 4.7%. In July, worse, core prices rose sharply on the month at 0.6% up from flat in July. So you're talking about the fact that, you know, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index might have, you know, it's still growing, but the rate of growth of inflation may have gone down. And you look at, volatile products that are in that, when you take those out and you get to the core. Mm-hmm. Well, that's still going up. Mm-hmm. That's everything. Those are all the other things that you buy outside of food and fuel that aren't, you know, very volatile. And now, you know, there's the great chance in many states, as we see already, gasoline prices are actually going back up again.
And you have to also look that from here forward, you have the growth in inflation in the last quarter of last year. So you're adding on to that. So whatever the October numbers, November and December numbers look like, that's when really inflation started to balloon out. I mean, it was on its way, but it really started to balloon out in the fourth quarter of last year. So everything that you're adding from this point on is on top of that inflation from last year. And again, not something you have to tell the average consumer. They already feel it. They already know it.
Facebook fact-checkers by day, radio hosts at night, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. It seemed to be growing over the weekend. Social media, you had NBC, maybe because NBC also had a story on it, not just Fox, but NBC had a story. Nevada Democrats see signs of nightmare scenario, Latino voters staying home. It's what keeps us up at night, said one of the liberal PACs in Nevada. Nevada Democrats have held their state as a national testing ground for how to win Latino voters in 2024, but with only 37 days left until the midterm elections, there are warning signs at the doors, on phones, and on the streets. Latinos are threatening to stay home. And that is despite the presence of the first ever Latina elected to the U.S. Senate at the top of the ballot. Organizers in both parties see the same phenomenon developing, as do major Latino groups and powerful unions, disgruntled over the economy and unhappy with their post-pandemic job quality. These voters, many of whom Democrat groups identify as once lifelong Democratic supporters, could sit out this one. That's on top of the usual challenges of turning out for voters in midterm elections. It's what's keeping me up at night, said Melissa Morales, president of a PAC, which has spent millions of dollars on ads in English and Spanish for Cortez Maestro. What I'm looking at here is, do Latinos actually turn out to vote this year? If we see a high turnout, we win in Nevada. It's also the article that was written, Democrats lose ground to Republicans with Latino voters ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. Democrats have lost significant ground to Republicans among Latino voters compared to the previous election cycle. According to a new poll released less than 6 weeks before the midterm elections, this is why they have the story here from NBC. A survey of 1,000 Latino registered voters conducted by NBC News found that the majority, 54%, prefer Democrats to keep control of Congress as a result of the midterm elections in November. That's down 5 percentage points since October of 2020 and a whopping 13 points since November of 2018. Now, remember, though, those are registered voters. Okay, those are registered voters, not likely voters. Everything now this close to an election should be, likely voters, not registered voters.
In fact, if you go back to RCP, the major polls taken since the beginning of August, and all but one are likely voters. Cortez Masto's only led in one of those likely voter polls, and that was only a plus one, and that goes back to Fabrizio Anzalone poll that was taken 8/16 through 8/24. All of the September polls, Laxalt leads over Masto. And some are within, in fact, many of them are within the margin of error. But the question is, how do you measure that, in this case, possible voter apathy, as they look at Latino voters in Nevada? You know, they write it as you have Latino voters threatening to stay home. Well, okay. The question is, are they motivated to go out and vote for the party they've supported traditionally? And we've talked about this, and it's impossible really to measure voter apathy. I think in 2006, you could kind of feel it from Republicans, but you really couldn't. I can only say that now because we're far past the election of the midterm of 2006, and Republican voters were not happy with the party. They weren't happy with the way that Bush was spending and the party was spending. And there was that voter apathy. Well, now you have, I think, quite the possibility that both the president and the party just simply are not motivating at all. And rather than vote for the party of Trump, but that's how you have to phrase it, I'm just going to sit home. You know, that can't be measured until after the election.
It's interesting because you said apathy, and I do believe in most elections it's apathy. But is it now apathy, or is it evolved into disgust?
No, I think we talked about that before. I hesitate using the word apathy.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because it's like, I'm not, you know, what does it matter if I vote or not? No, I'm not going to vote for these people. I can't vote Republican, but I'm not going to go out and vote for these people that have increased prices. If you look at it, and we look at the Liberal Civics poll here, which is, again, registered voters, but again, it gives you a clue as to where the momentum is, even after the Biden rebound a little bit, all right, the Biden rebound that he had, this is Democrat Latinos. 70% of 72% approve, this is Democrat Latinos, of the president. It was 87% when he took office. Mm. So even at 72%, it's down, you know, it's down 25. No, I'm sorry, it's down 15 points there. Now, with Democrats, it's down 15 points. If you go to independents, all right, independents who approved of Biden, 44% to 42%. All right, independent Latinos, 44% to 42%. It's now 64% disapprove, 23% approve.
Hmm. So interesting looking at the civics polling. You and I have been doing that, and they're Democrat pollsters, so they definitely lean left, and his numbers have actually improved somewhat. Yes. He's still, right now at the moment, he's still negative 13, 52% approve, 39%, 52% disapprove, 39% approve. So he's still far underwater overall. But when you look at the breakdown by party and then look at neither approve nor disapprove. You know, we talked about how you really shouldn't, in an approval poll, that shouldn't be an option. But it is useful as you look at it right now, and 12% of Democrats, 12% of Democrats neither approve nor disapprove. Well, yeah, they do. They just don't want to say it to a pollster. You're not on the fence about Biden. You're just not. You either approve or you disapprove. And you may not want to say you disapprove. Because if you approve, you have no problem saying it.
When you see independence, though, when you see that.
Oh, that's the big one we watch.
Yeah, where you see that, where it's 40, they, you know, he was ahead by 2 points, and now he's down by 41. Mm. 41 points. You look at that with independence. That's how you lose elections, when you lose that. But again, that's where you say to yourself, and we had said this because back then, remember, well, Biden's rebounding, you know, in the just was it August?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There's only a 1% chance of the Republicans winning the Senate now.
Right. Yeah.
And who knows, it could break. And we're like, that's a load of hogwash, because inflation is going to be here every single month. Every single month. You and I were talking about the Atlanta Fed, even though it's not the endorsed Atlanta Fed number, that went back up to 2.4%. And you and I went, what? And we're trying to look at, you know, dig deeper into the figures that they used, even though it's not the official number, right?
Well, they don't. This is not the official forecast for the Atlanta Fed, as they make a point on the GDP Now forecast model. They say is basically a snapshot of today, which means really, you can't see it as a forecast until like the day before the actual GDP numbers come out.
Well, and you and I were talking about the fact is, you know, we're because of the hurricane hitting and the Florida being a consumption state,
right,
where if the orders come in for a tremendous amount of raw material to go there, but the third quarter ended last Friday. So,
well, that, but if there was emergency declaration already in play, and I'd have to go back and look at the timing. I don't, because we have to look at federal spending that is done, and that happens quite a bit. In fact, administrations have been known to push back some federal spending into that quarter right before the election,
right,
to bump the GDP,
right.
If there was federal relief money, I don't know that it would be enough to take it from where they were.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah. GDP doesn't matter right now to anybody.
Well, that was
the point I was trying to make.
Sure.
It just doesn't matter.
Right. And the problem is that it doesn't have to be. We could be in positive territory technically, but if we're trolling along the bottom, it feels like a recession.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess it's. But GDP is an abstract number.
Yeah,
GDP is an abstract number. Most people who want to work are working right now and have been working over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So GDP doesn't make a difference to them. Inflation does.
Well, inflation hits everybody.
And that number that we saw last week, the poll we saw last week, again, solidified, I think, our opinion that nothing beats inflation. Nothing. There isn't an issue that can get, unless the nukes are pointed at us. But when you talk about and they're threatening to shoot, nothing affects an election like inflation domestically. You can't find a bigger domestic issue because it affects everybody every day. And we said this back in August. We said, you got August, September, October. You got three more months of inflation. Because I think it was July where they started talking about the fact, here come the Democrats. And we said, there's three more months of inflation coming up.
Yeah.
You can't make that call now.
Right.
There is nothing, and I think since we haven't had inflation in such a long time and people don't remember what actually inflation will help do to turn elections, wasn't the only thing for Reagan's victory. Mm-hmm. You had Jimmy Carter was viewed as such a weak president, but I dare say that you have a president who is weaker right now than Carter. And he's weaker because nobody would ever say that Carter didn't care. It was just he was incompetent. Both those accusations are thrown at this administration. They just don't care. They're tone deaf.
And they're defiant about it. You know, they don't care. They're completely tone deaf. There's a lack of awareness. I would say that the only thing that people look at in terms of if we're heading into a deeper recession and more forecasts over the weekend, I saw a couple of analysts. And again, these analysts, if they were right every time, they'd be sitting on an island with trillions of dollars. I don't know why they'd be sitting on an island because they could go anywhere they want. But they would be they would have plenty of money. But the idea of the recession going through 2023 and then layoffs kicking in, there's the problem. And that builds a fear. You may not be directly affected by layoffs, whether it's your company or industry, but you're living in fear as to whether or not it could happen to you tomorrow. And so those numbers on top of inflation. But inflation trumps everything. There is, it's this, again, fear of not being able to provide on the basics. You know, we've got a, thanks to my wife, this garden that's just, man, booming right now in our backyard. It's crazy how great it is.
Because of the extra CO2 in the air helping the photosynthesis of the plants?
Yes.
Okay.
And because I sit back there and talk a lot. I don't do much work, but I talk a lot. She does all the work along with my daughter. But I, you know, I thought to myself, well, what about the price of seeds? we're doing a lot of the heirloom seeds from the from the actual harvest that we bring in. But I thought to myself, my gosh, providing just the basics. You know, growing up, my grandparents always had a farm, always had at least eggs and vegetables, because they always had something growing and always had chickens. But I think to myself, what in the world is going to happen between now and the end of next year? How bad is it actually going to get?
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, there's somebody that's new to the public on the whole climate change thing and where we're going with our energy policy in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote an article over the weekend. We actually played some of his testimony to Congress a few weeks ago. It's not Bjorn Lundberg that we have talked that we've talked about in the past, but Michael Schellenberger, who went before Congress. This is the guy who needs to be talking.
Right.
Top of the Hour News is brought to you by Howe's Products. Visit howesproducts.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today, because if you can't listen overnight to one of our great planet Earth, we are Red Eye Radio. Good morning. Welcome.
Hello, planet Earth.
I'm sorry. It's like, okay, Gary, you're hyping it too much. Around the planet Earth. Welcome to the show, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Had a great weekend. I had a wonderful weekend.
Yeah? What happened?
Housework, lawn work. That was it.
All right.
That's all I did.
Well, good.
I didn't do anything else.
Good.
Overall, like, well, let's see, over the weekend, I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well,
my mop steam cleaner is though getting a lot of work.
All right.
Yeah, so the house is almost completely done, baseboards and everything.
All right.
Should I go into specific details, or is that enough?
That was more than enough.
And nothing. You know, nothing. Well, a couple of things came across over the weekend. I mean, nothing new. I mean, I did like Kamala Harris, and you know, talking about equity and race is what we should prioritize in the cleanup of Florida. And then she was asked, you know, every time, you know, she's been asked to comment on it over the weekend. Reporters asking questions. You know how you know you're wrong on something? When you don't immediately go up to the press and say, oh, I'm defending this. Here's what I believe.
Right.
She knows she got burned big time, you know, basically prioritizing race in the hurricane aid coming up. And it's just like, they really do. They really do live in their own little bubble. And they live in their own little bubble where they believe that everybody else believes it, and so it's okay. And this brings me to something that we've talked about so much, and that's, I think, really, this is probably the most important issue out there. And it's not the climate change issue, but it's how the climate change issue and the left have affected energy policy in this country. To the point where, you know, and it's not just United States. Our great lessons, you can see, the great lessons from Europe right now, the warnings are there.
Mm-hmm.
The warning was there in California. The warning is still there in California with where gas prices are going up. The warning in Texas. We've been warned. We know what doesn't work. And yet we continue to, not we, but others continue to support politicians that support this insane idea. Now, there's a man new to this. He's not new to the debate, but he's new, in fact, that he's getting much more publicity now. Michael Schellenberger, who spoke to Congress. And what he does is he studies the energy policy of this country in relation to climate change. He testified, he's risen up the ranks where he's testified to Congress about the unfolding energy crisis in Europe. And he writes here, he did an op-ed piece that appeared in a number of places, including the New York Post. When I explained how President Biden's own energy policies are harming our allies abroad and consumers at home, Representative Ro Khanna of California said to me, quote, if there was a war on energy, how is Exxon, Chevron, BP, and Shell making over 200% profits? You can't have a war on an industry, and then they're having record profits, end of quote. Well, the reason I told Khanna is precisely because of that, because the Biden administration has been stifling oil and natural gas production, thereby reducing supplies and increasing prices and profits. Do Democrats really not understand how supply and demand work? Of course they do. They know that. By repressing oil and natural gas production, they're making these resources scarce and expensive. That's how they want it. As we have stated before, and I'll add one more by just what he wrote there. We've stated the Democrats want skyrocketing energy prices, and they want these energy companies to make record profits. Because of their policy, it's the only thing that can happen.
Well, and it's also part of the move going to OPEC and trying to get OPEC to ramp up production. Because they know that if OPEC member nations ramp up their production, then domestically it hurts production. Here at home, it hurts what they're doing on private land and state-owned land. They know that. Now, they didn't get their way. In fact, OPEC now and OPEC Plus are now looking at curtailing production. But they know this. And the fact of the matter is, they don't want it. They can, and they get the best of both worlds by saying we can hurt the consumer and we can also make the demon out of the oil companies for making too much profit. And the fact of the matter is that you can help the consumer, and if the oil companies lose money because prices go down, I'm not going to be crying.
No. It says here, that's how the Democrats want it. They think high gasoline prices will force people to buy costly electric cars. But they know that their position of effectively rationing energy is highly unpopular. Mm-hmm. So they seek to scapegoat oil and gas companies, an easy target. And he goes through the specifics of what you know they could do, and the fact that the Biden administration, when it comes to new permitting, is granting, you know, fewer than since World War II. Instead, Biden has leased less public land for oil and gas production during his first 19 months in office than any other administration since World War II, according to Wall Street Journal analysis. But this is a prelude to the main way Democrats plan to make energy more expensive, which is by spending $300 billion of taxpayer money through the new and misnamed Inflation Reduction Act to subsidize solar panels and wind turbines made in China. Renewables make electricity more costly everywhere. They are deployed at scale. Just look at California. It has the second most expensive electricity in the United States after Hawaii, but it can barely keep its lights on. Why? Because the unreliable nature of weather-dependent energy sources requires more backup power plants, transmission lines, and people who can make electricity reliable. Consider what happened last month. On August 25th, California's government announced a ban on all gasoline-powered vehicles would go into effect in 2030. It's 2035, isn't it?
Yes.
In 2030.
Well, they will start ramping it up. I don't know. I don't think that's even 2030. I think that's 2032. But, yeah, 2035 is when the ban will be in full effect.
2035. 5 days later, on August 30th, California's electric grid operator begged residents not to charge their electric cars and trucks between 4 and 9 p.m. for fear of overwhelming the grid and causing a catastrophic blackout.
Yeah.
As we had brought to you. You can't make this up. He actually has that in the article.
Right.
You can't make this up. Renewables also cause inflation by driving up the cost of materials used in many other industries. Solar, now pay attention here. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff I found really interesting because he has the numbers on it. Solar and wind energy projects require 300% more copper and 700% more rare earth elements per unit of energy than fossil fuels. Wind, solar, and batteries require 1,000% more steel, concrete, and glass. How do you produce that? And 4,200% more lithium, 2,500% more graphite, and 1,900% more nickel than fossil fuels to produce the same amount of energy, according to the International Energy Agencies. Minerals comprise 60 to 70% of the cost of producing solar panels and lithium batteries. Worst of all, our need for those materials means we become increasingly reliant on China's market share of renewables and EV minerals is already here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me read this correctly here. Worst of all, our need for these materials means we become increasingly reliant on China. China's market share of renewables and EV minerals is already twice OPEC's share of oil. The U.S. depends on imports for 100% of 17 renewables and EV critical minerals. For the 28 others, we import more than 50% of domestic demand. Warnings from business leaders are falling on deaf ears. In early September, 40 CEOs of European metal companies warned of the threat to their industries due to energy shortages. They noted that 50% of the EU's aluminum and zinc capacity has already been forced online due to the energy crisis. European leaders mostly yawned and recommitted themselves to producing more electricity from renewables. If renewables are doomed for fundamental physical reasons, that's what we've stated all along. It is impossible. Physical means physical, scientific reasons. We can't do it because you can't produce the energy. Why do so many educated people believe that we can transition to them? Well, most are just ignorant. They have been surrounded by professional ideologues who have deceived them for decades. They insist that somehow the U.S. will be able to quickly build massive solar factories, rare earth mines, and mineral refiners that took China 20 years to build. It's a sad joke. While we should repatriate those industries to the U.S., doing so will take decades, not years, and doing so will make renewables even more expensive than they are today. So there you go. That's the insanity of what we're doing here in this country. And still, you can't produce enough electricity doing that, so you have to have the complete backup.
Which means you have to have oil and natural gas production to have to keep going.
Right. And so your costs go through the roof.
Because the other way, the only way around that is, Well, at certain times, you're just not going to have electricity.
Right.
Or heat. In the winter. Friction is your friend. My brain gets blisters just thinking about it.
I like that, though. Friction is, that's the best one you've come up with. Friction is your
friend.
Well,
it's, I mean.
Rub two sticks together.
Honestly, that's the mentality by the left over and over again. Like, you don't need electricity all the time. Just a few days. Just a few days after the EV announcement, the 2035 in California is going to be the deadline for selling new gas-powered vehicles. At that point, new vehicles have to be EVs. A few days later, don't charge your EVs.
Can't make this stuff up. We don't have the electricity to do it.
And what happened by the end of that day? Oh, no. Hold on. I'll go buy some more from another co-op. Newsom was scrambling.
Yeah, and what was the cost of that electricity he had?
I would love to know.
It was through the roof.
It was. I forget what they measured. Somebody measured it on the kilowatt hour, but I would love to get down to the sources and everything on what they had to do. They pretend like they can walk through this fantasy and want you to walk through it as well. But then when people are screaming, oh, wait, the UK last week. Fracking? No, we're going to lift the ban on fracking. And parts of Europe still don't know if they're going to have enough natural gas to get them through the winter. I mean, this is beyond stupid.
And I ask the question again. Does any Democrat believe that the Democrats actually want low gasoline prices? We've asked this now for, what, over a decade?
Mm-hmm.
Never can get an answer.
No.
Does anybody believe that the Democrats truly don't want, I'll add this one in there, don't want the oil companies to make record profits? When you continue with the same behavior of making, through government regulation, less supply of a particular product, it's going to skyrocket in price.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore be more of a profit to the oil companies. The Democrats want the oil companies to make more of a profit on a barrel of oil than they do right now, mm-hmm. on a gallon of gasoline than they do right now. If they didn't, they would change their policies. Who actually believes that Democrats want lower energy prices? Does any Democrat really believe that? And if Democrats don't believe that, certainly the rest of the country don't buy it. So why are we allowing this energy, economic, and national security suicide to continue through the behavior of Democrats and those Republicans willing to enable their delusions?
Mm-hmm. Over and over again. Over and over again.
Yeah, we're not talking a six-month period.
No. This has been going on for far too long.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller, and I'm here to share a tip on transport security. Each year, thousands of drivers are injured and millions of dollars are lost in thefts and robberies. The key to staying safe is recognizing and avoiding potentially harmful situations before they occur. Well-thought-out trip planning and communication between the carrier and the shipper can assist in recognizing and avoiding these potentially harmful situations. Before getting started each day, have a plan in place. Take time to map out 2 or 3 safe locations for each rest or refueling stop. Also make note of other locations where it is safe to pull off in case you need to stop unexpectedly or your first choices are unavailable. Communication between the carrier and shipper is also essential. Both parties should be aware of who is picking up a load, including the name of the driver, as well as the carrier-assigned identification numbers of the tractor and trailer. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J and by Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. One wonders whether this winter, both in the United States and Europe, won't completely change where the whole climate change legislation is going on, or the climate change mindset that exists today. The Democrats still keep doubling down, but you need people like Bjorn Lomborg and also Michael Schellenberger. By the way, Michael Schellenberger also is somebody who believes that climate change is having some effect. But what they're doing is completely the wrong thing. That, yeah, when you have new technologies at work and the public can afford, yeah, well, then the public will actually want it. But yeah, don't force it.
That's what,
on the
what
public.
We have said. You'll
yeah,
see that demand skyrocket yeah. when it works.
On your smart speaker, say, play Red Eye Radio. And if you're really nice, she might. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. So that really interesting article from Michael Schellenberger. Actually, it's headlined, Biden's Woke Green Energy is a Joke That Makes Us Dependent on China. And I was thinking about it, you know, again over the weekend, because this is when you look at this, I know it's not good times, but it's still fascinating times in American political history. And it's an amazing political time, because when you look at what the party in power is promoting, when you actually get down to the issues, and I believe this is how history will look at it. History will look at the fact that, you know, Democrats were promoting issues that were ridiculous. The fact that it was strictly against Trump may be a part of history, but that's not going to be the major focal point. The major focal point will be on the actual issues that you see. And when you see this, and I thought it again over the weekend, and I think this constantly, because I'm always trying to figure out what the argument is from the Democrats. Mm-hmm. You know, what might be, you know, what argument might be relating to the population. And I can't find one. I can't find an argument. You know, I was telling you, and I did watch this over the weekend, that I watched the Piers Morgan, Jordan Peterson interview. And they got into discussing about the fact that the left doesn't want to have a debate. You know, that's what the cancel culture is about. Mm-hmm. They don't want to have the debate. It's either you believe the way that I believe, whether it's delusional or not, I don't care what you think. And then later on, and I found this interesting, where he asked Jordan Peterson if he had any regrets. Well, maybe I should have tried to explain things better, you know, or just
yeah, right.
been more common. I'm like, wait a minute, don't say that.
Right.
They don't. You're making it sound like if you were a little bit calmer in some of those areas, that somehow they would be more receptive. Now, the only point is they're not going to be more receptive. Maybe independents will be. But what makes independents more receptive is not my argument or your argument, Eric. It may make some. But the vast majority of independents and those Democrats that are moving away from the Democratic Party are not moving away because they finally said, oh, you know something, Eric and Gary, I'm now buying into the abstract concepts, you know, that they have promoted on the abstract issues.
Mm-hmm.
No, what they're saying is, those guys were right, and now reality's hitting me like a ton of bricks because of what they're doing. But what is changing their minds is the reality of what they're feeling. But I went through all the issues again, all the important issues to Americans right now, and I said, where are the Democrats winning? And so we can start energy policy, climate change. Mm-hmm. Americans don't care. The funny thing is, what Americans, they haven't articulated it this way, but what Americans care about is the inflation caused by the Democrats and their climate policy.
Right.
So Americans will say, yeah, we're concerned about climate change. Would you realize that the inflation that you view as way greater, climate change is at the bottom, inflation's at the top, you realize that so much of the inflation is caused by what they're doing for climate change.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I find that fascinating. But when you look at inflation, why did inflation happen? Democrats caused it.
Spending.
Spending caused it. Liberal Fed policy caused it. We all know that. Does anybody look at inflation? Remember they tried to blame it on Trump? Nobody bought it. Remember they tried to blame illegal immigration on Trump? Nobody bought it. They didn't buy it. They didn't buy it in February and March of 2021. Remember when the polling came out? It's like, no, they're not selling it. And so you look at inflation. Democrats can't win that. Because what do the Democrats want to do to solve inflation? Spend mm-hmm. more money
mm-hmm.
that caused it. People eventually wake up, and people are eventually waking up here. So you look at that. You look at our inflation. You look at energy policy. It's very easy to explain to people. People pretty much can figure out, well, you're saying that we all should buy electric vehicles, and a couple of days later, you're telling people they shouldn't charge their electric vehicles. Oh, there's a massive hurricane in Florida. What would I do if I had an electric vehicle? I couldn't do anything. The whole grid's out. The whole grid's out.
Well, and, you know, we compared when we talked about Hurricane Rita and I-45 between Houston and Dallas. Well, between Galveston and Dallas, effectively was shut down at one point. And then you had cars that were sitting there that were running out of gas, and then gasoline had to be delivered. How are you going to do that? How will you deliver energy on the fly? I thought about this over the weekend more and more. Okay, gasoline can. If you go off-roading in a vehicle, often you'll carry a water can, you'll carry a gasoline can, and that's standard practice because you don't know if you're going to get stuck. You don't know how long you're going to be out there. And so you carry a red can and a blue can. How are you going to do that in terms of getting someone in an emergency, not talking off-roading, in an emergency that's shut down? What happens? When the grid is shut down, what happens? When you can't get access to those charging stations, the cars have to go to the charging stations. I can bring gasoline or diesel to a vehicle. What's the workaround?
Yeah, the public isn't going to carry an extra $1,000 lithium ion battery on their off-road vehicles.
Right. I'm sure down the road they're going to plan for something like that. It ain't going to be there by 2035.
No, it's not.
And it's certainly not going to be affordable by 2035.
So you look at the energy policy, and we're going to feel the energy policy. Europe's going to feel it, and we're going to feel it as the expectation for natural gas and fuel oil is to go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You're going to be paying more for electricity yep. and to heat your home.
Right.
This coming, we gave you all the projections coming out from different states. We told you about the feds. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in the Northeast, so concerned that they may run out of natural gas in the Northeast in places like Vermont.
Right.
So the feds were up there because they're concerned that if it's a very cold winter, they don't know how they're going to be able to supply the natural gas. Well, this is policies that were created by a lot of those policies by those states.
Yep.
We don't want a pipeline. No, we don't want, the support for the Democrats on our energy policy that, if you've listened to this show for years, we've said is insane. So inflation, they don't win. Energy policy, they can't win. It's impossible. Immigration, illegal immigration, they can't win that.
Right.
They're just pretending it doesn't exist.
Right.
It was funny. I'll play the audio cut. I'll find it here. Bill Malusion from Fox 11 in L.A., who does a great job on all the illegal immigration and things going on at the borders. He says Nancy Pelosi said, "Oh no, Biden has a plan." He goes, "Please tell me what the plan is." Nobody can tell you. There is no plan. And that figure came out that what have we seen? Almost a million gotaways since Biden has been president.
Yeah.
That isn't the number that have been allowed in. That's a number of illegal immigrants that have got away, that have got in here.
Right.
They could, you know, they and we've seen on the terrorist watch list the number that have been apprehended at the border. Everybody knows that's an insane policy to have. So we go through inflation that affects everything. We go through energy policy, which is absolutely insane, as it's very easy to explain now, and it's going to get worse this winter, and people, it won't be abstract anymore. You'll be able to actually feel it. You get to the border, you know, and what's going on at the border? They can't win that. You look at the liberal transgender activist movement and the insanity you've got. We'll get more stories coming up about more of these women athletes suing, but the insanity of that all, that everybody knows it's bogus. You can have compassion for anybody that has, you know, they have gender problems in their mind, however it gets there. I don't know why. I don't think anybody knows why. Do I believe that there are people that actually do believe that they're the opposite gender? Absolutely. Do I know why? No, I don't. Does that mean that they can be and should be represented in society as biologically different from what they are? Absolutely not. It's ridiculous, and everybody knows that. Does that mean that biological men should be competing against women, biological women? No. Oh, Gary, you're a transphobe. Fine, you're a misogynist. Now that we've finished name-calling, let's get actually to the reality and the science of it. You're delusional on that other side. So can they win there? No. Can they win on identity politics? Can they win on critical race theory? Can they win by judging people by the group that they're in instead of individuals? No, they can't win that argument. Can they win on defunding the police? You saw Beto in the debate this past weekend.
Yeah.
Sit there and say, no, I've never been for defunding the police.
Uh-huh, right.
And then the number of things that have come out. Think about this. And everybody knew. We knew it was going to happen. We said crime is going to go rampant in these cities. It's going to go, criminals are going to go hog wild. It's exactly what happened.
Yep.
And they're like, well, we weren't for this. We were always against it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on election integrity. We saw that with the Obama justice saying, no, sorry, Georgia's laws are fine. No problem whatsoever. This whole claim, race baiting on a consistent basis, lying about election laws to make people hate each other. Tell me one thing. Those are the major issues that we're dealing with today. Tell me one that the Democrats can convince a majority of Democrat voters. The Democrat voters may still vote for them. On the actual issues, tell me how you win a majority of even Democrats if you take Trump's name out of it.
How do you motivate them?
How do you motivate them? You can't.
How do you motivate a voter right now if you're the Democratic Party?
I don't know. Don't know.
You just hope that the hatred for Trump is still enough.
What I can see is you take those Republicans that have sided with your Democrat issues, as we talked about Dr. Oz on the liberal transgender activist movement in the show he did in 2010, where Democrats are coming after. See, he was sympathetic. Now he's no longer sympathetic towards a transgender liberal transgender activist movement, and Beto hitting Abbott for basically Republicans in the state of Texas and Abbott who embraced some of the alternative forms of energy, which helped cause, as we have stated, the February blackout.
And that so Beto wants to do more of.
Exactly. Beto would want to go 100%. You know, you may have Abbott that is, okay, we'll go 10% this direction or 15%, which was even too much, but he'd go the complete opposite direction. The only, I thought about this weekend, the only effective argument
the Democrats have made against Republicans is when Republicans embrace what Democrats believe we should do fully.
Right. Exactly. That's their only argument. And it's, you know, again, they're trying to shake the confidence in the conservative and the Republican and the independent voter. But nothing right now motivates people like inflation or demotivates.
Yeah. Yeah. Both. There really isn't a middle ground there.
There isn't.
No middle ground.
There isn't. And I think that's what you're based on history and really, again, using the word apathy doesn't really apply here. It is more, I think, anger. But that is going to be, I think, the bigger driver than crossing over and voting Republican. We'll see. But if that's going to be the case, turnout for the Democrats does not look good.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Cronin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. After everything that we just talked about here in the last half hour or so, the president of Toyota Motors Corporation said this week that adhering to California's plan to ban gas emission vehicles will be difficult to achieve and that battery-powered cars will take longer to phase in than the mainstream media believes. Realistically speaking, it seems rather difficult to achieve them, he said.
Yeah.
But just like the fully autonomous cars that we are all supposed to be driving by now, electric vehicles are just going to take longer to become mainstream than the media would like us to believe. Well, of course. Why? Because these companies are actually deal in reality. Thing is, think about how expensive electric vehicles would be if you mass-produced 100 million of them with the amount of lithium and just all the minerals that it takes.
That's to produce it.
Yeah. You make cars not available for the average person,
right,
and force them into what the left loves, public transportation.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Cronin, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Hi. Welcome to the first full week of October.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Every time I think of it, I think it was when I was in music radio. It just drove me nuts. Welcome to Rocktober.
This month, for the entire month, we're going to do what we do every month. And that is play some rock.
Welcome.
But we're going to really play it now.
Yeah, welcome to the overnight music show. Welcome to Midnight Oil.
You're going to love what we have coming up. It's Pink Floyd, Bob Seger, and Led Zeppelin.
All right.
Later.
I don't know what made me laugh so much, but when you put Bob Seger after Pink Floyd, it just made me laugh. It's like, no! If I'm into Pink Floyd, I'm like, I don't want Seger next.
Leonard Skinner. As we continue our entire 5 hours uninterrupted
Welcome to
Rocktober. Besides what I'm doing, we're uninterrupted.
Welcome to Rocktober.
It is Rocktober.
I'm completely out of the pop culture thing. I didn't know Elton John was playing right down the road from me the other day. It's like,
now, two things happened.
Wow, he's in town. Really?
A buddy of mine that I've known since grade school put on this thread that we've been on, a group of us guys have been on for years. Text thread, not social media. Pictures from the Scorpions concert. And I was like, oh, yeah, but they're coming back in the fall. Oh, no, wait, that's now. Oh, my gosh, I missed it. And then, yeah, the same thing. We had a close family friend that was at the Elton John show. I was like, oh, okay. Doing his last tour, which has gone on for 9 years now, apparently.
I remember, he was in. He played two shows in Dallas a couple of years ago as part of his last tour. That's why I thought he was done.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, here's a Globe Life Field.
Playing. Well,
like,
no.
What?
We'll bring the two together. The Scorpions years ago did this. Well, we don't want to be, you know, in our 60s and out there, you know, on stage playing. And then their fans were like, no, we'll still pay for that. And they were like, oh, okay. And they basically undid the return because they did a final tour. I don't know how many final tours the Who has done. I mean, they all do this. All right, it's our final tour. And then Elton John will, next thing you know, he'll go into, you know, do a residency out of Las Vegas or something, you know, who knows. You know? Well, I said tour. I didn't say I was going to quit playing.
Why not?
Yeah.
There's so much cash and, you know, what do you...
Well,
what
mean,
is he? He's 75, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. if I mean, he does... It's got to be a three-hour show, right?
Yeah, a friend of mine went, not this time, but another time, and said, this is here in the last year, and said his keyboard playing is as good as ever.
Yeah.
Said, you can't tell.
Yeah, that's what I heard over the weekend.
He hasn't slowed down at all. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is going back a while, going through the channel, and it was when you talked about the Who and their, you know, their final tours. And it was Al Bundy on Married with Children in a flashback dreaming about his first date with Peggy.
Yeah,
and
right.
His father's fixing the Dodge for him. He's in the garage with his father. It's like, give me a screwdriver. And he gives him a screwdriver. He goes, no, the other one. Gives him the orange juice and vodka. But he's fixing his car. And he's, yeah, well, why do you need the car fixed? Well, Dad, I met this real great woman. Her name is Peggy, and we're going to the Rolling Stones final concert tour.
Well, no, I mean, my wife and I in 89 went to the Steel Wheels tour, and we got free tickets, the radio station. Our boss was driving, so it was like a win-win. I was like, it was actually our first big date. And I said, we probably should go. This will probably be it. 1989. And it was a great show. But I've seen clips from their later shows over the last couple of years. Same thing. It's like, you know, I mean, Charlie Watts is gone now, but the music sounds exactly the same. The energy on stage is the same as it was in 89. And I'm like, well, if people want to hear you, people want to see you, and you can do it, then go ahead. Peter Frampton was talking recently because he's had to sit down. He has an illness he's dealing with, and he's had to sit down in later concerts. And he says, look, I want to go out on top because it's tougher for, you know, according to what he was talking about in this interview, for him to play the guitar with this condition that he suffers from. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, I want to go out on top. I don't want to get to a point where, you know, I'm really struggling to get a song done, you know. And then in the same interview, he mentioned things he probably wouldn't have done if he had it to do all over again. And one of them was the movie Sergeant Pepper, remember, with the Bee Gees. I actually saw that as a kid, thinking, well, this isn't the Beatles at all. Where are the Beatles? What's this disco have to invade everything? I think he said also that he wouldn't have released I'm In You as a single. And I was like, it's a ballad, but we get it. You sell records so you can go on and do other things. You know.
Yeah, but he was semi-ballad anyway with the yeah. I know he wasn't, you know, with a lot of the other stuff, mm-hmm. but the pops, you know, show me the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And those weren't exactly rockin' songs. They were great tunes, by the way, mm-hmm. but they weren't rockin' tunes.
Well, I mean, you know, like with any artist, you want to put some radio things out there, and that's how you get to do the other stuff on stage when you do your live show. I guess my point is, I don't know that I fault him, Peter Frampton, for, or any artist for doing anything like that. I mean, they all put out, you know, their own crap.
I can't go that. I do blame Styx for putting out Mr. Roboto.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you're right on that.
I mean, there's some things you've got to hold the line on. And you were at the concert, though. You were at that concert when
I thought you were there. I was at Paradise Theater concert.
Oh, I thought you were at the one where they were at, was it the old Cowboy Stadium, whatever, where they did that huge thing and they came out. It's where they got booed. They played.
The
Rock of Ages tour or something like that.
School of Rock. No. It was the Monsters of Rock.
Monsters of Rock, right.
Well, because Styx, they weren't Monsters of Rock. I think that's why we booed them.
But they started with Mr. Roboto is what Tommy Shaw said. And it was like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. They may be the reason that there's not a Monster of Rock tour. Monsters of Rock. But, you know, I mean, Dennis DeYoung got kicked out of the band for all that. So that's good. I'm just joking. It's a joke. No, I would say that, and I saw where Genesis sold their catalog for $300 million.
Yeah.
$300 million. And the article mentioned Invisible Touch, songs like Invisible Touch and I Can't Dance. And I thought, okay. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe that's what somebody paid for. I don't know.
But see, I mean that's really, really interesting. All their entire catalog, because when you think of Genesis,
yeah, I don't know if it's 100%. But
yeah, when you think of Genesis, for me, I'm an early Genesis fan. You know, I mean, I'm just that's where I got led to, and so you know the earlier stuff is what I love. That really Steve Hackett still plays today. I mean, that's Steve Hackett goes out and he still plays all the old Genesis stuff and really none of the new stuff. And I guess they're all fine with it. They've got no problem doing it. And, you know, he just went in that direction. That's a direction he wanted to go in more. I guess you'd call it classical rock. Prog rock.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember before prog rock, when they called it classical rock, because it was based so much on classical music. Mm-hmm. And then the turn that they took, I just wondered, you know, I wonder, all right, we're going to sell the one that had the songs you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Compared to maybe selling English by the pound. I mean, how do you figure that out? How much money goes for those songs compared to the stuff when they were super pop?
Well, I mean, selling the rights to it, I don't know how much money there is in owning the rights. You know, I mean, obviously somebody believes it's worth $300 million or whoever it is that's buying it, but I don't know how far that goes because there are things like where the real money comes in, using it in a TV show or in a movie. That's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Commercials. But in terms of people actually buying music, streaming has really taken over. And so the artist only gets a fraction of a penny. Per play. And so, you know, it's a much different world. does that mean that it would have been worth $600 million if we were still buying music as the consumer? I don't know.
I have noticed that you really don't hear a lot of politics at all these days from the artist. You know, right. The last one we talked about and was the one going on in country music. But,
right.
Maren Morris is a sort of name, but not a huge name of country music.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it was like, whatever. And we had talked about it on the air because that was over the liberal transgender activist movement. It was like, you're not going to win that one. You're not going to win that one. You can't win that in country music. You can't win that in most music formats
right.
today. But you think about it, nobody's really talking, politics.
No. No, it's not. It doesn't have that same effect. I think most people just kind of compartmentalize it differently.
Yeah, nobody, really I'll do. Say this, nobody knew. Nobody that hasn't,
right.
In the last 10 years or 15 years come out, but you just don't see most new artists. You know, again, you get, the Green Day, but they've been doing that for 20 years now.
Right.
And it's like, yawn, whatever. Yeah. Did he ever leave? They ever leave? Remember they weren't going to?
I don't know.
I keep wanting to call him Danny Joe Brown, but that's the former lead singer of Molly Hatchet. I can't think of
that. Yeah.
Remember, he was over in Great Britain or something, right?
Yeah, he may have stayed there. Yeah. Who knows? Right now, they're struggling so badly right now between anything in pop culture. Music, not so much, because, as you said, no one's really making a stand.
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah. And the problem Hollywood is having right now is the messaging and what they're creating, the content. You know, as everything becomes more of a proprietary situation with streaming, whether it's Netflix or HBO Max or Paramount Plus or whatever streaming it is, as they go in and spend a lot of money, they still put big money into budgets for movies, then people tune away. Right now, Netflix has a problem because they're going to introduce commercials into the first tier of the subscription rates. And people are like, nope. And you got to have the content that brings everybody in. This is why Disney went out and bought so many properties before creating Disney Plus. I don't subscribe to Disney Plus, but that was the model. That was the reason behind it. And you're going to see that more and more. But if they put a woke message into it, people get tuned out because what they want is to be just that. They want to be tuned out. They want to log on. They want to watch a movie, escape all the stuff that they see on social media. I think that falls on pretty much everybody. You're not watching a movie to get the message. You're watching a movie right. to
especially
set everything else aside.
And especially in this day and age, look, 40 years ago, the only place you might get that message would be in a movie.
Right.
Now it's everywhere.
Right.
And you can't get away from the message.
Exactly. And if you're asking me to pay monthly for that,
no.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So I'm just looking here. This was from late last week. We know that gas prices are skyrocketing and have been over the last month in California. But Oregon gas prices, as of last week, were rising faster than anywhere in the country. Fuel, and this goes back to last Wednesday to a week before, gas prices went up 50 cents in a week in Oregon. Wow. Now, the thing is, you know, and we've talked about this before. I've seen where my gas station, I'll sit there and all of a sudden it'll be 30 cents higher the next day. Then it slowly comes down again. But there's been a continuing price hikes on places on the West Coast, as we have talked about. I just happened to see that one. And I'm trying to get to I think my computer's down because I can't get to it. It won't let me get anywhere here. So I was actually clicking to go to the article because I saw it on Twitter, and it won't give it to me. So, but yeah, same thing as we talked about in California. By the way, that can't be good. I don't know what other, you know, if that's, is that affecting Nevada?
Well, I know that in Reno, Nevada, when I was leaving close to the airport, I paid, and this was at the end of our last vacation, I paid $5.99.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, it was near an airport, and I don't know. I didn't shop for the lowest price. I just had to fill up and get gone. But I don't know. I haven't checked the Nevada numbers. The national average, $3.79.9 for unleaded, and that's 7 cents higher than a week ago. So I think it's been slowly creeping back up for a couple of weeks. Go back to...
And I think it was 3-something.
A month ago, it was 3.79.
But I think it was...
It dropped and then went back up again.
But I think it was 3-something when I went by my gas station. I didn't look specifically tonight. I didn't need any gas, so...
Yeah, I paid I paid $2.97.
Yeah, I paid $2.93 last Saturday. Week. So I don't know if... Yeah, it just...
Yeah.
For some reason, though, maybe it is. I'll have to check when I go back home tonight, but I thought it was... I thought it was over $3, so maybe it had gone up.
Yep.
But we have been consistently going down in the state of Texas, but most the rest of the nation on average is going up. But I wonder how those western states are skewing the numbers nationwide.
Yeah, right.
I'd have to go. I may go state by state to see, because right. they have the numbers. We can go state by state to see if it's going up in every state.
If you missed what they just said, it'll be on our app and website to hear later this morning. RedEyeRadioShow.com.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Do you remember those days not too long ago when you would have Native American tribes protest and have liberal protesters and Democrats protesting with them to stop, oil pipelines or other type of fuel pipelines from being on or near their lands?
Uh-huh.
Well, the opposite is happening now. North American tribes that rely, this is from Fox Digital, rely on fossil fuel production across the nation, reiterated their demand that the Biden administration must allow them to develop oil, natural gas, and coal on their lands. Tribal leaders and energy experts contacted by Fox News Digital criticized efforts to restrict oil, gas, and coal production, even as those resources sustain thousands of Native Americans' way of life. The Department of Interior has repeatedly expressed support for boosting sovereignty for indigenous tribes, but has also pursued a climate agenda limiting fossil fuel production on federal lands and waters and Native American land. Air, energy, and water are the foundation to our economy. I believe in the right that all property owners have to develop what belongs to them in any way they want, said Daniel Cardenas, the chairman of the National Tribal Energy Association, and a member of the Pitt River Tribe, he told Fox News in an interview. That's why it's important to fight, to make sure it doesn't get taken away. And here I'm looking at a huge coal steam, a huge dragline excavator that moves rock along a coal seam at the Spring Creek Mine in Decker, Montana. The mine is operated by the Navajo Transitional Energy Company. Here's one for you. Bet you didn't know this. Roughly 20% of the nation's total oil and natural gas reserves, 30% of domestic oil reserves west of the Mississippi River, and additional natural minerals altogether worth about $1.5 trillion are on Native American lands. Wow. The Crow Nation's coal and resource assets are worth an estimated $27 billion, likely making it the largest, making them the largest coal owners worldwide, according to the federal government. Mm. But last year, the Biden administration let the Department of Energy National Coal Council charter lapse, effectively ending the 40-year coal production advisory panel, which Stewart, who's a member of one of the tribes, served on. The administration also has pursued emission standards and restrictions targeting the coal industry, which tribes like the Crow Nation depend on. A war on coal is a war on Crow, Stewart added. Wow. Mm. And they go through just all the different tribes out there that want to develop, and says the DOJ, or excuse me, not the DOJ, the DOI, Department of Interior, is expected to finalize a 20-year ban on oil and coal, oil and gas leasing on Navajo land in northwestern Mexico. The Native American tribes have come out fiercely against the proposed rule.
Hmm.
So there you go. Even, like I said, it's how time changes when it's in your best self-interest, right?
Well, sure. And, you know, of course, the left isn't going to allow that to happen because you can't. Sorry, coal generation is a thing of the past. And the federal government, I can't wait to see where this fight goes.
I know.
Because if you're on the left, what do you do? What do you say? If you're in office or running for office, then how do you counter that? Well, no, we can't allow you to produce coal, produce oil, produce natural gas. We can't allow any of that. You'll kill the planet.
Yep. Sorry, we can't give you sovereignty on these issues,
right,
which are, by the way, critical to your survival.
Yeah, right.
And your future survival.
Right.
Meanwhile, California Governor Newsom allowed local refineries to produce their winter blend of gasoline a month early in a bid to reduce gas prices.
Oh.
By the way, don't they have to shut down?
Yeah. Yeah,
production in order to change that for
I don't
a bit?
Know the I don't know the conversion time on going from summer to winter blends, but yeah.
The move repeats a similar effort by Jerry Brown 10 years ago and is an admission that the state's environmental regulations are partly to blame for the fact that California has higher gas prices than the rest of the country. The Associated Press notes that Newsom has been forced to compromise his own climate change goals by allowing refineries to produce the winter blend ahead of the usual November date. Though he also called for a 25% windfall profit tax on oil companies, which does what?
Raises the cost.
Raises the cost of gasoline. Like I said, Everybody in California, every Democrat knows this is what's happening. They know why gasoline prices are so high. Democrats want high gasoline prices unless in the month running up to a election, a midterm election, it might affect the results.
Right.
And not in their favor. I may ask this question for the rest of my life as this continues to until they change policy. Does anybody believe that the Democrats want lower energy prices? Does anybody believe, any Democrat believe, that the Democrats want lower gasoline prices, lower natural gas prices, lower fuel oil prices? Does anybody believe that? Does any Democrat specifically believe that? No. And if they say they do believe that Democrats want lower gasoline prices, they're either completely ignorant of Democrats' policies or they're lying, one or the other. And I tend to believe they're lying because of, you know, their mindset of tribalism. We're going to defend what we believe, unless they believe and they buy into the fact that through ignorance, and that's why through ignorance in there, that you can actually run a society through solar and wind.
Right, yeah.
But that would be based on ignorance.
Still buying into the abstract. That one day. And it's, you know, but this is the problem that we have, is that we still have enough people supporting these ludicrous policies.
And then you had, it's just every single day, it keeps piling on and on and on and on and on and on. And you're like, when will these idiots get it through their mind to reverse this? German federal economy minister. So let's put it, Germany federal economy minister Robert Habeck expressed concern over the looming energy crisis this winter, telling the German media that the situation was extremely tense and there is a possibility that Germany may run out of gas. That would be like Yellen here saying that.
Yeah, right.
It'd be like Janet Yellen here coming out and saying, and then the administration would be asked to comment on that, right?
Yeah. Imagine if they said that here in the States.
He spoke on Friday appealing to Germans to reduce their consumption of natural gas ahead of this winter, a day after the German government launched a new price break program to help Germans with the rising cost of energy. So what they're doing is they want to subsidize, you know, natural gas. You know, they're not making it cheaper for you. They're just spreading it out.
Right.
In a different tax.
Right.
Or borrowing the money from future generations. Mm-hmm. But they're not actually making the natural gas cheaper. But the funny thing is, if you do make it cheaper, even if you have to pay for it in the other end, and the public believes it, it means they'll use more and more likely run out. Oh, God, the idiots. I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at their situation. I'm laughing at the idiots that, for some reason, I don't know how you can be in this day and age, but the idiots that are still completely ignorant on supply and demand.
Well, you know, look, it's not going to affect the people that put the policy in place. In every society, it's going to affect who? The lower and middle class. The working class is going to have to pay the price for this. In this case, well, if you don't save now, there may not be enough then. It's the only way you can do this without doing a full reversal on the policy. Next thing it will be outlawing, rationing, banning the use of natural gas except for in extreme conditions.
Odd even days for homes.
Yes.
You have electricity today. You can heat your home today.
Right.
But not tomorrow.
That's right.
Could you imagine the number of people on the day they can use it, their house is up to 100 degrees.
But don't worry, because there's always tomorrow. today, it's friction.
For people that don't, I keep forgetting, a lot of people are not as ancient as maybe I am. We had odd even days back in the 70s. If your license plate, I know in, I can't remember, you know, it was whatever the first or last number was, they picked a number out of your license plate.
Right.
And if it was odd, you could fill up on that every other day. You couldn't fill up every day. Every other day you could fill up. Yeah. And that was to keep the gas lines from being too long after they put in price controls. After Nixon put in price controls.
Yeah, right.
And the lines went crazy. They had to pull them. It was like, oh, we can't do that.
Yeah. Yep. And that's exactly what would happen. That's where we're headed if you don't reverse the policy. Because if you don't have enough, there's only one choice. You have to outlaw. You have to ration the use. That's your only choice.
So the warnings are there. We've had the domestic warnings from Texas a couple of years ago, California this summer, and now you see Europe.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Not
the UK has reversed the ban on fracking, but I don't know how, you know, that may be too little, too late. We'll see.
For this winter, probably would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Likely.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the top of the hour, Bill Maher suggests dumping Kamala Harris from the 2024 Democratic ticket, saying she's not very popular anywhere. We'll get to the specifics of that one and the reason, and even Bill Maher acknowledged it, that they can't do that. And yes, it has to do with identity politics. Never got to mention this on Friday, but I want to talk about it with you here in just a little bit, Eric. Just this headline here: nobody watched Trevor Noah, and no one will watch his unfunny liberal replacement either. I mean, it's we look at, and we've talked about this many times before, how all of the night shows that used to be entertainment based all became leftist political tools. You know, they became leftist political activist, either was against Trump or pro Biden. But clearly what we have seen over the years is that even the Johnny Carson like, Tonight Show is just completely and totally history. So we'll get to that. And the other thing is, I got the map in front of me here, just wondering how gas prices could affect some of those states where the Senate races are extremely close. One of the things I was asking Eric when we were looking at the California gas prices that are through the roof, Oregon's too, that have been skyrocketing, is what about some of those western states and other states where there are some toss-up Senate elections, and could it possibly influence that? That more coming up, all here on Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Hey, that's part one of our show. Don't miss the rest. Click part two on our website, redeyeradioshow.com, or Red Eye Radio phone app to hear the rest of the show. And thanks for listening to Red Eye Radio.